Welcome to Prophecy Countdown with author and pastor Kenneth Bear. Join us every week for the latest updates on what the Bible has to say about the events, the characters, and prophetic signs of the return of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom. Make sure you not only subscribe, but like your favorite episodes and share it with your friends. Now, on with the broadcast.
Welcome to Prophecy Countdown. We provide two updates on this channel each week. Now, on Sundays, our message premieres at 1 p.m., and then on Wednesday, Prophecy Update at 11 a.m. Now, the title of my message today is The Holy One's Return, and we'll be taking a look at a few verses from the epistle of the Apostle Jude. You know, as the name of our podcast implies, our podcasts typically have a prophecy thread. We love answering questions, particularly related to prophecy. If you have a question, please send us an email at prophecycountdownpodcast@gmail.com. That's prophecycountdownpodcast@gmail.com. You know, I want to start this off by just telling you a little story about myself. You know, I've always loved to travel. Perhaps you're like that. Maybe you like traveling as well. You know, for a number of years, it was my job. I worked for Ford Motor Company, and Ford has operations in over 120 countries. You know, I didn't get to all of them, but I did travel extensively all through South America, the Americas, as well as Europe. Now, it's been 23 years since I left Ford Motor Company and became a pastor. So the travel I do today is primarily for leisure, not for business. My wife is the travel expert in our family, and she does a great job of planning all of our travel and all of our accommodations. You know, one of the things that I've noticed is she is just as particular about our return trip, our trip back home, as she is about the trip going out. You know, I'm really grateful, as I'd likely miss that important step. And it's always nice knowing when and how we're coming home. Now, today we're going to take a look at a couple of verses in one of the last books in the entire Bible. It's the book of Jude. It's small, and it's so small that it doesn't have any chapters, just verses. So all you need is verse reference. And so we're going to be today in Jude verses 14 and 15. And this is what Jude has to say. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all the ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." You notice how he's speaking about the ungodly. Well, of course. You know, as I'm teaching out of this book of Jude, and Jude is referencing Enoch, let me give you a little background on both of these, and then we'll get back to these two verses and see how it ties in with my introductory remarks about going home. First of all, the book of Jude, the name of is the author is actually Judas. But to avoid connection with Judas Iscariot, of course, who betrayed Jesus, the English translators have used the name Jude. However, it's the same word, the same name that's also translated as not only Judas, but also Judah for the tribe of Judah. You know, there are six people in the New Testament that are named Judas. This Judas, or Jude, is mentioned in Matthew and Mark, and he's the half-brother of Jesus. This is how Jude actually identifies himself in Jude verse 1. He says, "Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James." You see, Jude and James were only half-brothers of Jesus, and the reason for this is because Jesus was born of Mary through the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches that Jesus actually had four brothers and at least two sisters. This brother, James, was the very visible leader of the early church, and you can read about that in Acts chapter 15. As neither James nor Jude were followers of Jesus until after the resurrection, Jude identifies himself as a bondservant of Jesus Christ. I love that. You know, this speaks of his humility and the relative unimportance of being actually a family member, growing up in the same household. To Jude, the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for all of mankind was much more important than the family blood that's run through his veins. Jude identifies himself as a bondservant, just like the Apostle Paul. A bondservant is one who voluntarily commits his life to service without regard to wages or conditions. Now, let's talk about Enoch. Jude quotes the book of Enoch. Enoch actually lived 3,300 years before Jude. He was the grandfather of Noah. Now, Jewish tradition is interesting. This is not Bible, but this is just tradition, but I like it. Tradition states that Noah brought the writings, these prophecies of Enoch, on board the ark. I love that. Now, Genesis 5 tells us that Enoch was the father of Methuselah, who lived a total of 365 years, not Methuselah, Enoch, lived a total of 365 years. And then in verse 24, listen to this. Enoch walked faithfully with God, and he was no more because God took him away. You know, that makes him a very unique individual, the only one in the Old Testament that God just took away like that. Or before the flood. Enoch never died, but was taken up. Some scholars assume that he may be one of the two witnesses that preach on the streets of Jerusalem during the tribulation, again, because he never died. Now, both this person of Enoch and some passages from the book of Enoch are referenced in the New Testament. So why is Jude referring to Enoch? And what are these two unique verses actually talking about? Well, we'll see that Enoch specifically is speaking about our return trip. Now, to fully understand the sequence of events that the Bible teaches about the end times, from the rapture through the tribulation to the return of Jesus Christ to the thousand-year reign called the millennium, we have to consult also the prophets Daniel and Ezekiel, as well as the book of Revelation. You know, this study of the end times, what's called eschatology, has been so ignored by the church, by our theologians and many of our pastors for so long that a verse like this seems strange to us. Well, it wasn't strange to Enoch, nor to Jude, nor to the Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 4, I taught this last week, we see a type, a picture of the rapture of the church, where the bride of Christ, those who faithfully embrace and follow Jesus Christ, are caught up to be with Jesus in the air. This is the bodily resurrection of the believer. You know, it's clearly taught by the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And Paul says that it happens in an instant. The dead rise first, then we who are alive are caught up together to be with the Lord. Now, it happens when? Well, this is debated by many believers or many teachers, but I teach that the scriptures clearly support the idea that the true church is removed prior to the Antichrist being revealed. This would mark it prior to the 7 years of tribulation as well. The Apostle John sees a picture of the return of Jesus Christ. It's in chapter 19, the very end of the 7 years of tribulation. This is what John writes in chapter 19 of Revelation, beginning in verse 11. John writes, "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in white linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses." Now, I've been asked a few times about these armies of heaven. Who are they? Well, to answer that question, we have to go to these two verses that I quoted at the very beginning from Jude. The armies of heaven are the holy ones that Enoch spoke of and Jude quoted. In fact, this is the actual verse from the book of Enoch that Jude quoted. He says, "And behold, he cometh with 10,000 of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to destroy all the ungodly, to convict all flesh of the works of their ungodliness, which the ungodly have committed, and of all the hard thing which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Sounds almost identical, doesn't it? The one word that Enoch or that Jude changed is he changed instead of saying he comes with 10,000. Jude changed it to the Lord comes with the 10,000 to ensure that we know that this is Jesus that he's talking about, the one on the white horse. You know, a few verses later in Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, John writes, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, my friends, the rapture, also called the catching away of the church, is not the end, it's the beginning. After the rapture, the Bible teaches and describes the marriage supper of the Lamb. And all the believers are the bride of Christ. Then at the end of the tribulation, Jesus returns and we return with him. Do you get that? This is our return trip. You know, some mock, there's always mockers out there that this can't be us because it speaks of an army, and also possibly because it's described as being on horses and dressed with white linen. But horses and white linen are just symbols that the Bible uses to describe conquest and purity. Now, we may be the army, and that's what I teach, but we won't do any fighting. The Antichrist is the end times lawless one, and the Apostle Paul tells us this in 2 Thessalonians. He says, then the man of lawlessness will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the splendor of his coming. You see, it's really not much of a match, Jesus Christ versus the Antichrist. And as I mentioned, this is still the beginning, as we will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. I'll talk about that more on one of our future and upcoming updates. My friends, Jesus is coming. Time to get ready. Amen? Let's pray. So Father God, we want to thank you, Lord, for this teaching from the book of Jude that references the book of Enoch. Oh my goodness. We thank you, Lord, for this teaching. We thank you, Lord, for this prophecy. We look forward, Lord, to the coming of Jesus Christ. It is our blessed hope. We give you all the praise and the glory for the Lord, for that, Lord. We do pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' precious name.
Nearly every day, it's common to see, read, or hear something about the end of the world, the apocalypse, or end times. Author and pastor Kenneth Bear's The Apocalypse and Coming Kingdom zooms in and breaks down biblical prophecy as it relates to Jesus' imminent return and the coming 7-year period, including the Great Tribulation. Available in both paperback and Kindle versions. Get your copy on Amazon or at Barnes & Noble and select Christian bookstores. The title again is The Apocalypse and Coming Kingdom. You can also find it listed by author Kenneth Bear. Get your copy today. Thank you for joining us on Prophecy Countdown with Pastor Ken Bear. Don't leave without first sharing the latest episode with your friends. Be sure to join us again for the latest updates on Prophecy Countdown.